We are the sheep. He is the good. We are the branches. He is the... And so we will call upon his name. Jesus is his name. I want to read the passage of scripture and have our pastoral prayer, and then I'm going to invite Pastor Cox to come up and preach the word for us. This is Psalm 19. It's divided into two parts. The glory of God in creation and the glory of God in his word. Listen as God speaks. To the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, and it comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man it runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from my hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Let us pray. Father, we come before you, and this morning we pray in the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who was there from the beginning, from before the beginning. And you created all things, the Father created through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are one, but three persons, and we praise your name. We praise you for living in such a place that we can look to the east and see 10,600 feet of mammoth glory that declares God is great. We praise you that there is a river that runs underneath it that gives life to this desert land, and we praise your name for it. We praise you because you have created us out of the dust of the ground and you have breathed the breath of life into us. We praise you, God, because you are good and greatly to be praised. You are the creator of all things. You made us, and you made creation for us to live in. And you did not make us for creation. You made us to praise the Creator and to give Him glory. And, oh, Father, we come before you and say we have failed. Sin has separated us from our God. And we are broken. And we are without hope in this world apart from you. And you could rightfully annihilate us and be good and just. But that is not your heart, Father. Father, you have loved us from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. And you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that he might live the life that we never could and die the death that we deserved and rise again and say, enter into my resurrection life. And this is the gospel that we worship your name in and through this morning. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, that you would take every heart in this room captive. And as Pastor Cox preaches the word of God this morning, that your Holy Spirit would pierce us down to the deepest part of our soul, and would open up the eyes of our heart to see the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ and through the gospel that comes through your holy word. Let the Spirit, Lord, empower us and enlighten us today. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to worship you, Lord. I pray for those in darkness in our own country. I pray for those in darkness across the world who do not know the name of Jesus, or if they do, they don't know who Jesus really is. And I ask now that you would do a great work of salvation among the peoples, and one day every tribe and every tongue and every nation will stand shoulder to shoulder before you and praise your holy name. Lord, let us be a part, a taste of that this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite Pastor Cox up, a man who needs no introduction here at Charity Baptist Church, but a man who I want to thank from the bottom of my heart for being here. It is a privilege for me to come and to sit under the teaching of your word. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're welcome. This is a first for me. I retired 22 years ago from the active ministry and have been preaching, filling pulpit in Colorado, and then back down here to New Mexico when we moved here 15 years ago. But I've never before preached filling in for a pastor who was in the congregation. This is a first. And I'm nervous. I've never had the pastor checking up on me before. You see, I saw, normally we speak on the phone, or he's out of town when I come here. And so I don't often see him. I saw a picture of the 12 that went to Utah last week, and I saw this guy on the left side of the picture. I said, who is this? And then I saw Melody standing next to him. I said, it must be Pastor Justin. I've never seen him since he became a mountain man. Amazing. Amazing. Well, I invite your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. And that was an excellent introduction to the message this morning as well. Psalm 19. Two revelations of God in that particular psalm. The revelation in God's creation and the special revelation in the Word of God. And I want to speak concerning revelation this morning. The Bible is a revelation. You say, well, of course it is. That's our standard here in this church. 2 Peter 1:20 really spells it out as clearly as can be, that it is a revelation, sums it up so well. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, meaning somebody just decided this is the way things are, I'm going to write about it. No, it didn't happen that way. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost of the Holy Spirit. How did God do that? Well, I can't explain it all, except I know that the Spirit of God spoke to the men of God, and it's clear throughout the Word of God. Every word came from God in its original writings over centuries and without error. Marvelously, it has been preserved in its original language that was given by scholars and men, given tediously to the task to preserve it. Scholars have translated it into multiple languages, and they're still doing it as well. A good friend of ours heads up a mission that is superintending the translations, getting them into areas of the world that still do not have a printed copy. This is a truth repeatedly that surveys repeatedly indicate that even born-again Christians do not all believe it. But think about that now. They say that the Word of God is their authority, but they do not, there's even born-again Christians, do not believe in their brain, in their heart, in their practice, that it is absolutely the Word of God given by God in as Peter spoke of it, and it is to be obeyed, understood, and obeyed. They acknowledge, there are those that will acknowledge that there are some errors in the Word of God. No, there's not errors in the Word of God. Sometimes there's some apparent, I emphasize, apparent contradictions in the Word of God, but they're not. I worked in the post office for several years when I was in seminary, and I was with a crew that was ungodly, and one day I came into work and they said, hey, we got you today. They said, we've got our girly magazine. I don't remember what it was called way back then, but it's got a list of contradictions. I said, fine. When we get to the break time, bring it along, and we'll take a look at them. I explained the first one. I explained the second one. And they threw their list in the basket. That was enough. They couldn't answer. There are no contradictions. There are things sometimes that we have some difficulties understanding, but that's different. But if you set yourself up in that fashion, that you say there's some contradictions or errors in the Word of God, you're setting yourself up as a judge of the Word of God. The Word of God is our judge. It judges our sin nature. It judges our motives. It judges everything about it. So my challenge to you this morning is simply this. Treat the Bible as a revelation from God. That is, God making himself and his will for mankind known in such a way that we could not otherwise know it whatsoever. So I invite your attention to verse 9 to begin with. Treat the Bible as a revelation from God that reveals what God has prepared for those that love him. Verse 9 says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, get this now, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He's simply saying there, man, by natural reasoning, by natural study, cannot comprehend the things of God. It's impossible for them. God's revelation tells us things that man could never discern with their own senses. God has marvelously equipped man with the human mind. It's amazing what people can study and come up with. But at the same time, they cannot comprehend God except to this extent. There is a general revelation of God in nature. That's how Psalm 19 began. And God tells us there and in Romans chapter 1 as well that if you study nature seriously, you're going to come to the conclusion that somebody, some intelligence, had to put it all together. If you deny that, you're deceiving yourself. He quotes here Isaiah 64:4, which speaks of the marvelous things that God has prepared for us. This includes everything that God does for the believer, present and past as well. Isaiah 64:4 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that wait on him. Believe it. Accept it. It is true. Revelation tells us that God saves men from hell if they believe. Who would ever figure that out on their own? This involves the revelation that sin displeases God. Death in hell is its penalty. Too many people overlook that altogether. Hell is a horrible place. Jesus spoke of it over and over again. Christ gave his life for us that we might escape it and we can be saved. This is known only through revelation. Revelation tells us that God cares for us now. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Who could know that? Who could guess that? Who could understand that except by revelation? Treat it as a revelation and obey it. Revelation tells us in Romans 20, chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. You might be here as a Christian and have some questions about that. He doesn't say that everything's going to be rosy all of the time. He says all things work for good, ultimately, in other words, for those who are called according to his purpose and those who love God. Who would know that except God makes it known? So no matter what you may be enduring in life, what circumstances God allows in your life, remember the revelation. It's not just a good book. It's the best book. It is the revelation of God. Revelation tells us the very hairs on your head are numbered. He must be keeping track. It's still hard to count, even in these circumstances, you see. Revelation lets us know that trials can be for God's glory. We don't like to hear that. We don't like trials. But if you believe the Bible is a revelation, you'll believe what God says, that trials can be for God's glory and for your good, and that they may be coming from Satan himself. Think about Job. Oh, I'd hate to have been in Job's boots, enduring all that he did. And yet, what a tremendous encouragement Job is as we read the book of Job and how his friends came to help him. Oh, who needs friends like those? You see, we really don't. Revelation, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. Psalm 116, verse 15. Have you ever turned to that when a loved one passes away? I sure do. I encourage people with it. I believe it, that it's precious, a valuable thing in the sight of God when a loved one, a saint, a believer, someone trusts in God, comes to eternity to be with God, you see. God does not take the death of his people lightly at all. Revelation tells us in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That's a promise. That's an encouragement. What an encouragement it is as well. I believe it. I trust in it as well. And so he tells us that we are to accept his word. So treat the Bible as a revelation from God first, that reveals that God has prepared things that God has prepared for those that love him. Do you love God? Seriously, do you love God. Don't try to hold God to account for his promises if you do not love him and his word. Jesus said, "Do you love God? If you love me, keep my commandments." I like the emphasis of the pastor to the children. I may be mixing up. Did you emphasize obedience? Either Don did or you did. I forget which one it was now. But I was enthused when I heard it. That was so good. Secondly, now, let's treat the Bible as a revelation from God that reveals the deep things of God. We look now at verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, "But God hath revealed them," these things that we wouldn't know otherwise, "but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Wow. The Spirit of God. It speaks of the Trinity. The Trinity is not the easiest thing that Christians have, or anybody has, to totally understand. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am a person. Dennis is a person. But in God, there are three persons. That's a little beyond my comprehension totally. But the Spirit of God is the one who gave us the Word of God. And so verse 11 continues, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Two things stand out here, two thoughts we ought to comprehend. The first one is simply, the Spirit of God reveals these truths. It was the Spirit of God that spoke to the writers to begin with. The writers carefully wrote down what God gave them. He is the third person of the Trinity and knows the heart of God, the inner workings of God. The Holy Spirit has revealed these truths. The Spirit knows the inner thoughts of God. Paul illustrates, the only one that knows all that is going inside of you is you. You can put on a front and hide what you're really thinking, what your opinions are, and nobody would know the difference. But you know the difference. The Spirit of God knows the inner thoughts of God, the will of God, and has conveyed them to the authors of the Word of God. Others can discern some things about you just by the way you react, by your smile, by your frown, by various, well, by things that you say. But you know better. You know more about you. But the Spirit of God has been given to reveal the innermost being of God. I marvel at that. I marvel at that revelation. I marvel at who God is, at what God is, and of what God does as well. I marvel because I believe the Word of God that tells us about it. I marvel because I know, I understand the Word of God is a revelation of God Himself. The second thing to gain from these three verses is verse 12. I direct your attention to that. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Remember where Paul was preaching, to whom he was writing. He's talking to Corinth, to the philosophers. Well, he's addressing the church. But there in the culture of the philosophers, the people, the great thinkers that ignored God, that paid no attention to God. And he wants us to know, that's not what I'm giving to you. That's not it at all. He had elaborated a little bit about that earlier. But he wants us to know, I am giving to you what the Spirit of God gave to me. And the marvelous thing about it is that same Spirit of God dwells in you if you know Christ as your Savior. We are indwelt with the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean you're going to get revelations added to the Word of God. Not at all. What it means is simply this. The same Spirit that gave the Word of God is going to help you to understand the Word of God. Every time I preach, I ask that the Lord would fill us with the Spirit of God in our congregation, so that as we look at the Word of God, as we teach it, as we preach it, people will comprehend it, because the Spirit of God is working in their hearts, in their minds, in their lives, so that they understand it, and hopefully they have a conviction that if they understand it, they need to obey it as well. So, Paul was not a superior teacher. He had a superior teacher, is what happened. We have the same Spirit to help us understand the Word of God. I think of sometimes of automobiles. I'm slightly mechanical minded, at least, but I've had times when the engine of my car would start missing. In all my wisdom, I would lift up the hood and I start investigating what is the problem. And I usually didn't find out what the problem was. And so I break down and go to a mechanic, and it's amazing. They plug in an instrument, and in an instant or two, they know exactly what's going on and how much it's going to cost as well. The Spirit of God is like that. One of the greatest assets in counseling is the Word of God that shows people where they're going wrong, where they need help, what they can do to change their lives for the better. So, treat the Bible as a revelation from God that reveals what God has prepared for those that love Him, that reveals the deep things of God that could not be comprehended in any other way. And then thirdly, that has been communicated in the words of the Spirit. At verse 13, look at that. Which things also we speak. I said, Paul, I know Paul probably was a great teacher. Well, we have evidence of that. But the reason that he was such a great teacher was because he had such a great teacher. Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Here's one of the great verses of the Bible. Now, they're all great. Even in Leviticus, they're pretty good, you see. But there's some that are just extraordinarily good. And this is one of the great ones. Paul very clearly states what the Bible is, because that's what he's been taught, and how we have obtained it. It did not come from man. It only came through man. Paul clearly states that what he spoke was the inner things of God Himself, which could not be known in any other way. I say, what a revelation we have. Take it seriously. Don't doubt a single word of the revelation God has given to us. Paul clearly states that what he spoke was the inner things of God Himself, which could not be known in any other way. And so we take it in that way. Paul taught these things in terminology, specific terminology taught by the Spirit of God. Not in words taught by man. That's philosophy. Philosophers are limited. They're limited in what they can observe. And they usually fail to observe the Word of God, to pay any attention to it. They just write it off altogether. God made known to us everything that we need to know. And I know there are things you'd still like to know, but if God gave us everything we'd like to know, it'd be tough to carry. It really would. But He gave us everything we needed to know. Paul taught these things in terminology, taught, he says, by the Spirit, not in words taught by man. Theologically, this means every word. We speak theologically of the Word of God as a verbally inspired book. Every word. It wasn't a case that God had a chat with the writer of Scripture, gave him some thoughts, seed thoughts, and then they expanded on them as best they could. No, that's not what he says. He says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. This is one of the marvels of the Word of God as a revelation. It was imparted to us over several centuries by multiple writers, and there are no contradictions. It's systemic. It all comes together. It all works together. What a marvelous book. By these words, we compare spiritual concepts with spiritual concepts so that we get a great picture of the heart of God and the will of God. Both the space program and the computer industry gave us new specific terminology associated with their peculiar activity and procedures. And the Spirit of God did the same thing with the writers of Scripture, conveying to them in words that He and the Father wanted us to understand and to comprehend. He gave them to us, and they were passed along to us by the Spirit of God. God, through His Spirit, directed Paul and the writers in all of this. This is what makes the Bible a revelation. Not just a good book, a revelation from God. Believe it. So, again, I encourage you, treat the Bible as a revelation from God that reveals what God has prepared for those that love Him. And be sure you love Him as well. Secondly, that reveals the deep things of God Himself. And then, that has been communicated in the very words of the Spirit of God. And finally, treat the Bible as a revelation from God that is understood spiritually. The world has a hard time understanding the Word of God. I tried to read the Word of God when God began speaking to my heart several years before I was a Christian. I received a Bible in school, in grade school. I didn't share it with anybody. I kept it in a drawer privately, but occasionally I'd open it and try to understand. I couldn't. And then one day, September the 28th, 1953, I trusted Christ. And I wanted to take the Bible to church. Not before then, no way. But what made the difference? I began to understand it. Look at verses 14, 15, and 16. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned with the help of the Spirit of God. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The unsaved do not receive the things of God. As verse 14 says, they are foolishness unto him. Don't let them ever be foolishness to you. Treat the word of God with reverence. Treat the word of God as a lifeline to God himself. And understand you're going to get your best understanding from understanding that as itself. Several years ago, maybe they still do, I don't know, they had dry batteries for automobiles. They were shipped dry, and then before they put them in the car, they added whatever they add to batteries to make them work. They figured they're going to last longer that way if they did that. Well, the Spirit of God has been added to you if you know Christ as Savior. He's been added to you to help you to understand the Word of God. The unsaved do not have the advantage that you do. Take advantage of it. Use the advantage. And for sure, don't be one of those who thinks the Bible is a good book, but you're going to judge whether it's correct or not. Those who decide they're going to correct decide whether it's, parts of it are correct are destined to misunderstand the Word of God. We do have a marvelous book, a marvelous revelation from God. Paul calls it the wisdom of God, which indeed is what it is. Heed it, understand it, obey it, and God will bless. I think it was Don that had emphasized that in Sunday school this morning, because there were promises given to Israel, promises of blessing from God. Get familiar with the Old Testament history of how God worked in Israel. It was keyed to obedience. When they obeyed, God blessed. When they disobeyed, God brought judgment upon them. All of that is a huge, great illustration for all of us for our personal lives. Obey the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God that's been emphasized so much here this morning. Thank you for those who are here, who attend here, because they know that the Word of God is going to be taught and believed and emphasized here. And I pray their number will grow. Speak to all our hearts now as we conclude the message and turn the service back to Pastor Justin. And God bless. Please bless everyone here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.